Have you been confused about the healing and deliverance ministry and what that looks like? Well, be sure to tune in into today's teaching. I'm going to share with you what the Lord put on my heart to teach you all about healing and deliverance. This is a foundational teaching, and there's so many layers to healing and deliverance. So be sure to tune in to hear all the details and also to hear about some resources you can try out to help you through your healing and deliverance journey, and also to really improve your healing and deliverance ministry. All right, talk to you soon. So welcome you guys to today's live. Okay, happy Sunday. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being here. And so as you can see, today's title is called Healing and Deliverance. What is the difference and the similarities? And so I have not been live in a few weeks. I've been so busy, you guys. I have been busy. Okay, just know that. I have been so busy. My schedule has changed significantly. All right. So with that being said, I want to make a few announcements first before I get into today's teaching. The first thing is the Faith and Mental Wellness Podcast has officially launched for this year. Be sure to follow that on all major platforms. It'll be called Faith and Mental Wellness Podcast with Shakita Torres, where I have guests who are speaking about faith and mental wellness. So far, I've had some amazing guests thus far, so be sure to check that out. And I'll get into the other things a little bit towards the end for today. So before I go into prayer, I want to put out a quick disclaimer. First and foremost, there is no way I will be able to cover all there is to know about healing and deliverance, okay? It is a very layered topic. Everyone's situation and scenario is different. And my primary assignment today is to really debunk some myths about healing and deliverance, bring you more clarity, and to also provide you with some tools and provide you with some books you can look at as well to help you really understand what healing and deliverance really is, okay? But I'm gonna pray first before I get too far. So Father, I thank you right now, God, for this time to be able to teach your people, God. I yield everything to you, God, my voice, my ears, my mind, my spirit, God. Holy Spirit, I ask you to just speak to me during this teaching, God, to be able to meet your people right where they are. I pray, God, for those who are battling, whether it's mentally, spiritually, emotionally, Lord God. I pray, God, for healing for them. I pray, God, for deliverance for them. But most importantly, I pray, God, that they will have a pure and intimate relationship with you. So Father, we just love you on tonight, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. All righty. And so with that being said, with this teaching today, as I was saying, I'll also be coming from this as a therapist and life coach, and also as a minister. And I often hear people say that, you know, they're called to healing and deliverance, but I can tell at times that people kind of put healing and deliverance to me in this box. And it's mainly because, you know, social media has truly made healing and deliverance look glamorous. And it really is a gift to receive healing and deliverance from the Lord. It really is. But some people are over displaying what that looks like and making other people feel as though they have to always go to a person. They have to always, you know, be engaging in healing and deliverance. And so as I go into today's teaching, I'm going to share with you what God gave me. I'm going to share with you my experiences, my testimony, and I'm sharing with you the word of God. So I encourage you to test everything that I say by the Spirit. And I pray that as I speak and teach on tonight, that it will, that God will begin to speak to you too and highlight areas to you as to where he wants to heal you at, and also to help, you know, change any, you know, mindsets you may have around healing and deliverance. Okay. All righty. And so as I said before, over the past, I would say at least 2 years, if not more, you know, social media, particularly on YouTube, people are displaying healing and deliverance everywhere. Now, does God want it to be displayed sometimes? Absolutely, because people are not really truly aware of what healing and deliverance is, and it actually exists. But it has been a lot of overexposure as well, okay? And what God has begun to tell me even the more, everything is not for social media. Everything is not for social media. And so I also encourage you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to help build your faith and to get more understanding and revelation as to what God is saying to you about healing and deliverance. Okay. And also, I want to give you this quick word. This is for those of you who already operate in this vein of healing and deliverance. And you may have some unhealthy ambition. Ambition is amazing. Ambition is great. But the Lord does not want you to be so consumed with trying to display healing and deliverance publicly all the time. Okay. He does not. So it says here in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appear, which is Christ Jesus, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So in a nutshell, this is what the Lord is saying, is that many people display, what they're doing in deliverance because it makes them feel good at the end of the day. It does. It makes you feel like you're being used by God. It displays your gift. It displays a certain part of who you are, right? But what the Lord is saying is that when you continue to do that, you're already receive your award. So it's best for you to wait until Christ gives you your reward. Because, like, when you continue to do that, you've already gotten it. You have already received it. I think that scripture is in the book of Matthew. I can't think of the exact scripture when it comes to that, but it's in there in the Word of God. So let's look at healing. Okay. So healing refers to the restoration of physical, emotional, or spiritual health through divine intervention. This can involve the curing of illnesses, the alleviation of emotional wounds, or the renewal of one's spiritual well-being. Healing can be instant or it can be gradual. Okay. It's often a visible demonstration of God's compassion and power. And so also I did a series, I think it was last year, in the middle of the year, called Progressive Miracles, where I'm sharing with people, stories from the Bible, my own testimony about how when you receive healing from God, it is a pro it's a journey. It can be a process, okay? And so healing can look different for every person based off of how God wants to operate, to be honest. Some other words that mean healing is rehabilitate, cure, fix, treat, repair, revive, relieve, alleviate, mend, and regenerate. Okay. And so I'm going to go over here in scripture. The first one I want to go over is physical healing. There are numerous accounts of God healing people of various physical ailments. For instance, in Mark chapter 5, 25 through 34, a woman with a chronic issue of bleeding was healed by touching the cloak of Jesus. Okay. And so here it is in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. A centurion servant was healed from afar through Christ's words. Ah, his words. Okay. Here we go, y'all. This is what it got good for me for sure. So it says here, the faith of the centurion. So Christ had entered Capernaum. A centurion came to him asking for help. So, Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? Shall I come where you are? Right? To the centurion. And he replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does that. So he was pretty much saying, hey, my servant is obedient. They deserve to be healed, which, of course, none of us deserve to be healed, right? It's a gift from the Lord. But he was just stating his case, okay? So when Christ heard this, he was amazed and said to him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so I'm gonna go to verse 13. He said, "Go and let it be done just as you believe it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. And so when I'm reading this, right, as I'm reading scripture, other scripture also comes to me too as I'm reading and studying it. Okay, and so remember that Christ is the Word of God. He was the living, he still is the living, breathing Word of God. If you go to John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, in the beginning, the Word of God. So he sent his word for the centurion's servant to be healed, you guys, to be healed. And so I'm saying all that to say is that I see so many people who are, so desperate for healing, and they become dependent on a person or a ministry to always deliver them and heal them when we have access to the word of God right here in this Bible, the word of God, okay, which is Christ himself. Right, that can heal us according to your faith, right? And once again, as I said before, every situation is different, but as you can see, the centurion's faith moved Christ, okay? And so this is where I see many ministries or people who are taking advantage of God's people by always saying, "You need healing, you need deliverance, come here, come here." Yeah, that's great. Power of agreement, we'll get to that in just a moment. All right, power of agreement, okay, in just a moment. But you don't have to have someone to actually lay hands on you every single time you need healing, okay? Lay hands on yourself, apply the word of God to yourself, okay? And I did a teaching maybe about a little over a month ago about legalism. And I see in different groups that I've been a part of, where I, look at who are Christians who know they need healing and deliverance, and they become so desperate that they'll do anything to get it. But you have to learn how to wait on the Lord. And sometimes you have to wrestle with the word of God that God has released in his word in scripture and to you personally about what he promised you. So I'll get to this in a moment, you guys. This teaching today is just so layered. As I said before, I'm not going to be able to go over every single thing. Okay. Then you have emotional healing and spiritual healing. The Bible also addresses emotional healing in Psalm 34 and 18. That the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. God's comforting presence and grace can heal emotional wounds and bring peace to troubled hearts. For example, if you are experiencing grief and loss, your heart can be broken and God can restore your soul. So that is emotional healing. And so this is why they say it's called healing and deliverance. I have mentioned this before in a live I did a while back, where my husband's brother was murdered, and it was a tragedy, okay? And so my husband, he still grieves. And I asked him, I said, "So you're grieving." I'm like, "Do you need deliverance?" He was like, "No, I just need God to comfort me. I just need God to come into my, to heal my broken heart, because his heart has been broken, right?" And so I say that all that to say is that every time someone has an issue, every time someone is going through a hard season or a situation, it doesn't mean that they're dealing with demonic principalities. It's called life. It's called life. It is called life, and life will happen. Okay. Life will happen. And you need God to heal your heart and to restore your soul, because you can also have what we call soul wounds and soul fragmentation from hurt, grief, loss, betrayal, trauma of any kind, unforgiveness, and so much more. Okay, and whenever you need healing, you need, the power of God, but also you need godly counsel, which is how God primarily uses me in therapy and life coaching, is through counsel, giving people that place and that space to be able to share their heart, what's going on, what's on their mind, what they've been through, hear their story. That alone can help bring healing and restoration, because you're putting language to your pain. You have a space where you can say, "Hey, I'm going through this, I'm going through that," right? And the person you're talking to can be praying for you, in that moment, or praying for you in their private time. Like, I operate this way so many times over the years, where people, I'm counseling them, and Holy Spirit spirit is there. I can literally feel, the virtue leaving from my body, until during that session for them to receive healing. And we're not, screaming and yelling, hollering, saying, come out, come, it's not all those different things, you guys. And so once again, this right here, just, this section here is to really debunk, the myth about what healing is supposed to look like. Okay. And we'll get into it towards the end of the different ways that healing and deliverance can actually happen. Okay. On the other hand, we have deliverance, which refers to being set free from the power and influence of evil forces, including demonic oppression and possession. It involves liberation from bondages, strongholds, and destructive patterns of behavior that hinders a person's spiritual growth and well-being. Okay? Deliverance could also mean these words: release, emancipation, escape, liberation, redemption, rescue, and salvation. Okay, this is a quick Google search right here about what other words also mean deliverance. Okay, and so yes, deliverance is all about breaking free from demonic oppression. Okay, and that is definitely, as you guys know, who follow me, you know, is real. It amazes me how I see people who are on social media, especially on YouTube, who are doing these teachings, who are speaking against, healing and deliverance ministries, and how, oh, it's not biblical. That's not, it is. You go look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see the many miracles that God did for people through healing and deliverance. And that still happens and exists today. I can say that because I've experienced it for myself. I can testify to my own healing and deliverance. Okay. I have experienced so much freedom through Christ over a course of time, over the years. Right, and as long as we live in this body, as long as we're living on earth, we're going to battle something at some point in our life, right? And you're going to need Christ to heal you and deliver you from that again. Okay, all right, so let's look in scripture again about deliverance. So, you also, as I said earlier, you have demonic deliverance. So, in various passages, Jesus and his disciples demonstrated authority over evil spirits. So in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, you can see where Christ delivered a man from a legion of demons. Okay. And so, you guys, the word legion means thousands. So this man had thousands of spirits in him. That's a lot. Legions. Okay. Legion. Look it up. So here it is in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, they went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with the chain. He was radical. He was all over the place, where he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs, in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Okay. And so, long story short, I'm not gonna read the whole entire thing for sake of time. But towards the end, the man came and he said, "Why are you here? Like, why are you harassing me, Jesus?" Pretty much. And he was like, "What is your name?" And the man said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So he begged Jesus again and again to not send them out of the area. So a large herd of pigs were feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." And so he did, right? And then the pigs rushed off, and they went to the lake, and they drowned. And people were upset. They were like, "Wait a minute now, Jesus, you came here, you didn't cause ruckus, you didn't cause all these different things." And this is why I know many ministries do not want to really operate in healing and deliverance, because sometimes it is messy. Sometimes you're not going to always know exactly what to do. It is like a trial and error thing when you're learning. And so, yeah, so Jesus, listen, he came to set the captives free. Okay. All right. Also, what can cause you to be bound or be oppressed is sin. That's right, sin. And I will say this: when I first gave my life to Christ, I had no idea. I did not know how bound up I was until I began really truly walking with the Lord. And oh my gosh, y'all, I was like, "Oh my God, Lord, I didn't know I was like this bound up from trauma, from hurt, from pain, from betrayal, from different things from my childhood that God had to like break off of me and heal me from over a course of time." Some of it took years, okay? So, freedom from sin. Deliverance can also involve freedom from the bondage of sin. And John 8 and 34 says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Okay. This spiritual deliverance is possible through faith in Christ and power of the Holy Spirit. So pretty much what I see too, this is what I see a lot of. When you're operating the healing and deliverance ministry, it's so important for that person who is seeking deliverance, or they have already had it before they was able to get education on it, be educated about, deliverance, what that looks like. Because even after you become delivered from something, if your mindset has not been renewed, if you have not changed your thought pattern, change your environment, you're going to go right back into that lifestyle. This is why, I know for a fact we have these different celebrities, who get saved, get their life to Christ, but like they do not want to part ways with the world. They don't want to part ways with what they knew before, and it can become uncomfortable and sometimes inconvenient. And it's like you're going to lose something in order for you to gain Christ. And so many people don't want to go through that process, what we call sanctification, meaning sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so they end up going back and being bound again, worse. Okay. And so it says here in Matthew chapter 12 and 43, it says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it even seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and they live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. So pretty much like I just said, when you continue to dibble and dabble and, you go to Christ and you come back out, you go to Christ again, it gets harder and harder because the enemy knows that he has to work harder in order to keep you in bondage and keep you oppressed. And yes, you can be a Christian, and yes, you can, be a believer and everything, and still be oppressed, okay? Let me get to that a little bit towards the end here, okay? And so I put here, if you keep going back to the same vomit, which can be your environment, your bad habits, it could be a stronghold as well. And so when you're experiencing strongholds, the only way to break that can be through prayer and fasting and being in a solid Christian community. Okay. This is why having discipleship and counseling is so important. It helps you to see your blind spots and why you keep going around in cycles. So I know for me, like if I see myself like in a cycle, I'm like, Lord, I feel like I keep repeating the same thing. Like, why I keep going through this? He will tell me because of XYZ, right? And so I'm like, God, can you please heal me? God, can you please deliver me? Because I don't want to keep going around the same mountain over and over again, right? And he has done that for me time and time again, time and time again, right? And so don't be afraid to ask God questions like, okay, God, why am I dealing with this? Like, where did this thought come from? Why I keep getting entangled up with this, with this particular sin? And he will tell you, and he will also give you strategy on what to do. He might say, okay, watch this teaching, or he might say, I want you to go get counseling, or he might say, okay, go to this ministry, right? He will give you instructions because, none of us know it all. That's what I love about ministry is that all of us are unique with our own unique experiences, our own unique giftings, different callings and mandates. And so I definitely don't compare myself to nobody because I know what God has called me to. And I know that other people may have more knowledge about area than I do. And guess what? That's okay, right? I'm open to learning. And so be open to learning. Do not quench the spirit unless your spirit is like, like, it's Holy Spirit, like warning you to don't pretty much partake of that person's teaching and don't do it. But make sure that you're not rejecting it because you're not familiar with that, I will say. Okay. The word of God, y'all, once again, it's so many different layers to it. That's what deliverance is. Healing and deliverance definitely goes hand in hand. It goes together, but they also have differences too. Let's get into that real quick. So the first difference is the nature of the problem. Healing addresses physical, emotional, or spiritual ailments, whereas deliverance deals specifically with the influence of evil forces and bondages. Okay, I put you cannot counsel out a demon. Okay, with that being said, when people who are on social media and they're operating healing and deliverance, and they see him talking to the demon, you guys, like, the Satan is a liar. First and foremost, he ain't gonna tell you the truth. So it's important for you to listen to the Holy Spirit and let him guide you on what to do for each person. And I please don't just like leave people. I have so many stories, y'all, not just myself, but even with people I've counseled over the years who have had horrible experiences, you know, going to get deliverance from ministries, and they leave them kind of wide open and high and dry, and they get a hit of God. And so with that being said, it's because God is showing you something. It doesn't mean you have to always announce it or even address it. I'm gonna get into that in just a moment. Give me one moment. Okay. Some people do need deliverance first before they can actually heal, because that strong man can be standing in the way. Okay. Number two, the difference is also focus on the solution. Healing is all about restoration, recovery, and well-being, while deliverance is more so about liberation and freedom from spiritual and demonic oppression. Okay. So they both need to have divine intervention from the Lord, okay? Not what we think should happen, not what we did with, you know, Sally or Jesse, but once again, each person is different. Your journey is different, okay? The redemptive work of Christ, both healing and deliverance are part of Christ's redemptive work through his death and resurrection. Christ provided not only forgiveness of sins, but also healing and deliverance for believers. Number three, faith and prayer. Okay, both healing and deliverance require faith and prayer. Don't say something. Okay, what I love about this too is that let's say that, you know, my faith is a little bit low in a certain area, but someone who's praying for me has a higher level of faith in that area than me, right? That can also allow me to experience healing and deliverance because of their faith, right? The power of agreement is a real thing. The power of unity is a real thing. Okay, you can look all throughout scripture and you can see unity. Even the you know, whenever in the beginning, where the people trying to build a tower up to heaven, right? The Babel, right? That was being successful because there was an agreement. Okay, they had unity. So God had to confuse them and give them different languages because they was working together to kind of keep building up to get that to get to, you know, to get to heaven, right? God said, "Oh no, I gotta stop that now." So the power of agreement and unity is you can be very productive, put it that way. All right. All right. So that's all I have for this, the teaching of healing and deliverance. Once again, as I said before, I cannot today, tonight, be able to go deeper into every single thing. There are some other points here that Holy Spirit gave me to mention up here as well about healing and deliverance. All right. So for those of you who operate in this ministry, God is saying that it's okay to share testimonies about healing and deliverance, all right? As a matter of fact, the man with the leprosy, God told him to be quiet about his healing and keep it a secret, but he went and told it anyway. So people will testify about what, you know, how God used you for them. You don't have to display every single thing, okay? I remember that one time my friend, my best friend works in the juvenile justice system. And you know, God used her heavily too with her with some of the kids. So she had ministered to one of the kids that was there, one of the teenagers, and she told him, "Don't tell anybody, you know, what happened, you know," because she didn't want it to, you know, get out and get around. She don't care about, you know, glitz and fame and all that good stuff, right? But he went and told all his friends what happened. So they all was like looking for her, seeking her out to receive counsel from her. So to me, that's an example of people will testify about what they're receiving from you. You don't have to like always sound a trumpet, sound an alarm, and you want God to be able to, you know, elevate you. For those of you who are in business, and you know, for me, I'm a keenpreneur. Many of you guys who watch me probably are too as well. It's a fine line between sharing testimonies and then sharing intimate stuff, right? Like for me, for example, I have my coaching program. My students, right, there are things we going over in the program that I will never ever talk about because it's private information. But like, if they decide to do a video or testimony about what they experienced, great, that's awesome. I'm not forcing them to do that. I ask if they want to give one, and they can. I don't tell them what to write, what to say, or any of that, right? Because people need to know about the program and how effective the program is, right? So that's across the board with anything. But you don't have to like sit here and go and share every single solitary detail about the people you've helped, right, and what they've done, and you know, displaying healing and deliverance. Y'all, to me, I personally don't want no one to be seeing me on social media receiving deliverance like that. To me, it's a very private, it's very private and very intimate. And they have to be careful, y'all. Just be careful. And also what it does, it also causes people to be dependent on you. And I don't know about you, but I don't like that feeling at all, whatsoever. Okay, I'm only one person. And people start to become dependent on you, you know, it diminishes your humanity, and people can start seeing you as a superhuman, okay? And you don't want that either because you're not superhuman, only God is, okay? Now, here's a scripture that God gave me, and I will say this over and over and over and over and over again. I have shared this in my coaching program. I have shared this with with therapists as well. Always remember this scripture, all right? It says that Apollos, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who waters or anything, but only God who makes things grow, okay? The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. And so remember that, you know, when you operate in healing and deliverance, you're sowing and you're watering seeds. And one thing that the Lord had to teach me too, especially with being a counselor and a life coach, is that I won't always see, you know, the harvest of that person's like growth spiritually, emotionally, whatever it is, because I'm planting seeds and I'm watering seeds. And every once in a while, God will allow me to see that person's harvest years later. And it's a blessing to me because it lets me know that, you know, that my sowing and watering was not in vain. And so keep it in mind, it's not your job to save people, but always point them back to Christ and you know, teach them, give them resources, disciple them if God leads you to, right? So just please remember that. Please, you have to be very responsible when it comes to healing and deliverance, okay? Please be responsible for those who operate in this ministry. And not only that, make sure that you're also engaging in your own healing and deliverance too. Make sure that you take out time to do your work and that you're healing. Because I hear people say all the time, I'm called to healing and deliverance, but I can definitely discern areas in which they need deliverance from themselves. Okay? So please, y'all, be mindful of that. Because the enemy don't care. He don't care. He will eat you up and spit you back out. Okay? And so with that being said, you don't always experience healing and deliverance by someone laying hands on you. That's not scripture either as well. And that's I have read earlier about the centurion man. Christ spoke the word and his servant was healed at home. Christ was not there, he spoke the word. You can receive healing and deliverance through prayer, the power of agreement. I've definitely experienced that before myself, but I knew that what I was dealing with was a stronghold. It was a demonic influence. Oh my God, I am doing all I can. I'm praying, I'm seeking you know, I'm going before you. I'm, you know, doing what I can do in the natural, in the spirit, but I had to wait on the Lord. And once I finally was able to partner up with someone who had faith in the area with me, God was like, power of agreement. The power of agreement. You can receive healing and deliverance through crying, through yawning, laughing, also dreams and visions. I have so many testimonies about how God has healed me or delivered me in my dreams and my visions. I remember I shared maybe like earlier last year my testimony about how God healed me from anxiety. It's on my YouTube channel under Progressive Miracles. Like, I had to walk that out. That was definitely a journey, and it was not easy. It was not easy at all, but God delivered me from it. Okay. You can feel something like leave your body, like almost like through your breath. It's like almost like you can like breathe and it just come up, it comes out, right? It can be healing or deliverance, okay? That can happen by you just breathing it out. All right. So, and then there's some things that you have to just wait on the Lord. Oh my gosh, wait on God. Me battling with anxiety for a while, I had to wait on the Lord. And let me tell you the scripture that God gave me for that. Go up a little bit. So God has a set time for your healing as well. Do not get ahead of him. It says here in 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. Okay. And so with that being said, timing is everything. Whenever I'm counseling God's people, I have to be very mindful of what I release, when to say certain things. And I had to learn that over time, because we can get so anxious and like we want a person to heal. We want to heal, and we can definitely get ahead of the Lord. So I'm gonna give you a prime example. I shared this before. I'm sure she won't mind if I share the story, but real quick, I had a client for coaching and working with her for a while, and I already discerned some things that I knew God was gonna heal her from, but he had her on this journey of where she was dealing with this one particular area, and then as time went on, God was gonna heal her in those areas too. But it's a process, okay? And so she was right here doing good. Then she had went to a different ministry and they began to like tell her everything that's all wrong with her. I mean, everything. I mean, they uprooted everything, right? But they cannot give her a solution. They didn't give her a solution. And so she was anxious and she was overwhelmed and she was having thoughts of like, oh God, I want to live anymore. God, are you able to still use me? Am I messed up? Am I too far gone? There were things that was happening to her outside of her control from her family history. And so then we had to kind of like, well, I had to really like, whoo, like intercede for her and pray for her, you know, my private time too, for her to get back on track because she had became really anxious. And so I kept telling her, I was like, they moved way too fast. Like they were not supposed to release all that to you yet. It was not time. And so that's why whenever we're operating and we say, oh, we in the spirit, we in the spirit, but you still need to ask Holy Spirit while you in the spirit, Lord, is this person ready to hear this? And he would tell you no, or he would tell you whatever he needs to tell you. And so you have to be mindful because what happens is people will go and they're told all these things about them that are wrong, and then they don't have no solution for it. And they go home and they feel defeated. They feel overwhelmed. They feel like, oh my God, I'm a hot mess, right? So we have to be very mindful and careful about what we release to people whenever it comes to what we see and the discernment and the word of knowledge that God gives us about that person. And so it took her a while to kind of get back on track. And even now, you know, she'll come by the Lord to wait on him. Like, wait on, I don't have anything else for you. I've given you the tools. You know, we're going through everything. But the Lord said, now you got to kind of like backtrack a little bit because you're getting ahead of him. You're getting ahead of God. That's what I mean when I said don't get ahead of him because he has a set time for everything. Whenever I did a series called Seize the Season, you know, I share about the healing season and how it's so important for you to walk that out with the Lord, okay? So real quickly, I want to go over what are some things that can hinder deliverance and hinder your healing. The number one thing, you guys, is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will hinder you from healing. Okay. And speaking of that, I have a book I wrote here. It's a workbook called A Heart That Forgives. It's a key, the key to inner healing. Talks about forgiveness of others and forgiving yourself for past mistakes. Thing about everything I write, it comes with strategy. People say, how do you do this? How you do that? Okay, strategy. So get this book if you want to. It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon now, not quite Amazon, but it's on my store. Just either send me a DM or comment below, and I'll make sure you get the link to it if you want to get this book, okay? So also, who you are surrounded by, it matters. Who is in your vicinity, it matters. Look at scripture, y'all. This is so good to me. So having the wrong people in the room with you who may carry doubt, which can cause you to doubt, can also hinder your healing. So being careful what you share with others and being careful what you allow others to see when it comes to your, you know, intimate, you know, setting of healing and deliverance, right? So Matthew 5 says this here, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but the child is sleeping." So pretty much, one of their daughters had died, and they had called him to come, to come see about her. Actually, it was in a time when he was on his way there. But on the way there, he had got stopped by the centurion man. My God, thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me of that. And on the way there, she ended up dying before he got there. But he was actually going there to heal her. Okay, so when he got there, she had already died. And he was saying, "Okay, she sleeps. She's not dead, you guys." So they ridiculed him. They laughed at Jesus, like, "Oh, he crazy. She's gone. Old girl is gone." Okay, but when he but then he told everybody to go outside. So y'all get out. He kicked them out because they were operating in doubt. Okay, so you can't have people around you that are operating in doubt whenever you know and you're waiting on God to heal you and deliver you for some, heal you and deliver you. Okay, for example, let's say that all right, you say, "Hey, I'm working on not smoking cigarettes no more. Okay, I want God to heal me from that, deliver me from that." And you tell someone, like, "Oh, girl, you always smoked cigarettes, for over 20 years. It's been 20 years, girl, smoking cigarettes, and you ain't gonna be able to beat that." That's doubt, right? And so you're gonna start thinking that, okay, I can't heal from this. I can't, God can't, heal me in this area. And speaking of that, I'm gonna give you another quick testimony. My mother-in-law, I'm not sure if I share this story with her, about her. She used to drink very heavily when I first got married to my husband, and we had been praying and seeking God, asking God to heal her. And all the while, God wasn't necessarily using us to speak into her. He would use other people to speak into her, sow seeds, water seeds, right? She wasn't saved yet. And so one day she ended up calling my husband. She was just crying, saying, "Oh my God, God saved me today." And she was at work, y'all, working, and she received salvation. Okay. But not only that, she said instantly God delivered her from the desire to want to even drink alcohol anymore. And ever since that day, she has been drinking nothing but water, pretty much water. And so God healed her from that. Instantly, you guys, that was a miracle. That was deliverance. She told me she can actually feel it coming from her body, and she can look up and she saw in the spirit, right? That everything that she had been dealing with that particular addiction was coming off of her. Okay. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, it matters, my God, who's praying for you, who's believing God for you. Those things matter as well. Okay. It's called faith. Faith. Okay. Do you have faith friends in your circle who want to believe God with you? Okay, we all need them, all of us. Okay, let me keep going. Okay, so there are a few books here that I'm going to recommend that you guys can look into. Now, like I said earlier, if you're watching this video now and you already have experience in this area, you probably already know some books you can recommend for people. But I'm gonna show you what I've read so far and what has worked for me, and research it. This first book I ever read before, I was a baby in Christ, was this book right here called "Strong Man's His Name, What's His Game." It's by Dr. Jerry and Carol Robeson. Okay, it's a book about spiritual warfare and the different type of like low level spirits you can have. And with that being said, you guys, just like God's kingdom has different levels of authority in it, Satan's camp is the same way. Okay, so there are different types of spirits that are stronger than others. One in particular is lust. Lust and perversion is a very, 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 very strong spirit. Okay, very strong. Okay, there are other things that are like small level things that are not as heavy as that particular spirit. So this is a good book. Another book I read some of it here and there. It's really, really good too. It's called "Setting the Captives Free" by Beverly Tucker. So this is a good book if you want to operate in healing and deliverance, if you feel called to that. But keep in mind, you guys, that whenever you operate in this vein, You gotta be in your word. You have got to be saying, pray before God, consecrated yourself, working on your own self, being a community, and depending on what God is showing you, you might need a team of people to help you. So when I'm working with clients over the years, especially in coaching, I'm very mindful of that. I'm like, okay, Lord, is this something that they need some help with, or can I handle this on my own? Okay, because every spirit is different and they have different levels of authority as well, in Satan's camp. That's just the honest to God truth. Okay. So this is the book by Billy Tucker. She also has a podcast, you guys. Can y'all see that? A podcast as well. And if you look on, it's called Setting the Captives Free. Yeah. So the other book I have here, I bought this book last year. It's a great book. I read some of it too. It's called Deliver Yourself from Evil by Apostle Jennifer LeClaire. So this particular book is all about self-deliverance decrees, prayers, activations that break every chain. It's a good book, y'all. I read like the first chapter, and the first thing she's teaching you is, really truly hearing the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit. I've definitely operated before in self-deliverance as well on my own self. Okay. So this is a book here. This is what it looks like. And it's a good book as well. So I recommend these three. There's other books out there. Like I said, everybody's level of understanding and interpretation and everything is different. Okay. So with that being said, that's all I have. Oh, and one more thing. And I have my other book that just came out. It's called Seize the Season. It's the workbook now. You guys can see that. Ain't it pretty? It's so pretty. It's on Amazon, actually. It's also on my in my store. I put the link for you in the description box. It's for those of you people who are, it's for any believer, to be honest. We all go through different things in our life in different seasons. And this workbook has 11 chapters in it, and each chapter is going over a lesson about that particular season and then how you can navigate it and why you're going through that. Okay. It's so good. So all I have for you guys, I'm looking at you guys' comment. I want to kind of teach and get this out the way because it was to me, and this is not all of it. This is only like most of my notes, but I'm teaching what I feel led to teach out of my study time. Okay. Let me come up here. Is that I reading this today, Glory? Yes. Another book I like, I recommend too, is by Apostle John Eckhart. It talks about healing from rejection. That is a good book. Anyone I recommend that book to who actually went and bought it has told me, "Oh my gosh, Akita, that book was amazing. Thank you for telling me. I had no idea that I was dealing with this stuff." Y'all, there are so many different types of rejection. As you know, rejection started back in with Adam and Eve. They were rejected by God because they end up eating from the tree after he told them not to. They got kicked out the garden, right? So, and of course, Satan himself got rejected from God because he wanted to be God, right? And so, yeah, so definitely be mindful of that. If you're on YouTube now and you're commenting, I'm so sorry. I cannot see your comments, okay? But I'll go back and I'll read them on the replay. And I'll go look at it in a little bit. That's all I have for you guys on tonight. Thank you guys so much for getting on. I've really been meditating and just seeking the Lord about what it is that He want me to teach about moving forward. One of the things the request I have gotten was how to hear God's voice. And so I am thinking about, and I'm going to go before the Lord about doing a series on that. And whatever he tells me to teach on, that's what I would do. Some of them may be pre-recorded because of my schedule, because of my time. Like usually I don't go live on Sunday, but tomorrow's President's Day. And so I don't have to work. My family will be home. And so I don't have to do anything tonight to prepare for tomorrow. Okay. So again, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to, once again, go to the Faith and Mental Wellness podcast. We also have a YouTube channel, Instagram page now. Go to Faith and Mental Wellness.faith, look at the directory and to look at what we have to offer there for you all. Okay. So I'm gonna say a quick prayer and I'll be done. So Father, I just thank you, God, for this teaching. I pray, God, that it has brought clarity to your people. It has helped them, Lord, to truly have a stronger understanding and foundation of what healing and deliverance is. I pray, God, that God, they will go back to you. They will ask you questions. They will seek your word. They will study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to build their faith, to understand and know that healing and deliverance is still for today. And that, God, you desire for us to be free. You desire for us to not only just be free, but to stay free. Oh God, I pray, God, for those who are going through in their bodies and their minds and their hearts. God, I pray, God, for emotional healing. I pray, God, for spiritual healing. I pray, God, for a new understanding and revelation of who you are in their lives to be revealed to them, God, in a personal way, in a way, God, that they will understand it. I pray, God, that God, you will break the yokes of bondage, God, off their mindsets, off their hearts, God. Hallelujah. So, God, we just thank you tonight, God, and ask you, Holy Spirit, to be with them as they rest, God, that peace flood them. Please flood their home, flood their mind, flood every area that concerns them, Lord. I even pray, God, for those who may be deceived by the enemy, God. I pray, God, that God, you will go see about them and that, God, you will raise a standard, God, on behalf of your people, God, and rescue your sheep, God, because the sheep belongs to you. And God, we just thank you tonight and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. I just name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, y'all. That's all I have. All right, see you guys next time. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Our prayer is that this podcast episode has blessed you. Don't forget to go and subscribe and leave us a raving review. If you would like to sow into this ministry or to this podcast, Pain, Passion, and Purpose, you can do so at anchor.fm/Pain, Passion, and Purpose or Cash App $Shakita Torres. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next time.